Good evening, everyone. Meeting will come to order. The clerk will note the roll. There is a quorum. Yay, yes. We have two sets of minutes before us, the minutes of January 30th and the minutes of January 23rd. Would someone like to make a motion to approve those two sets of minutes? Representative Carlson moves approval of those minutes. Any corrections, additions, changes to the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor of approving those minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. We have two items of business tonight, although I understand that Commissioner France is tied up in pensions at the moment, and so depending on how long House File 14 takes, we may only have one item of business tonight, and we'll get back to the Commissioner later. But Representative Miller, could you come forward? Representative Miller, welcome to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The Chair will move that House File 14 be referred to the General Register. Representative Miller, would you present your bill?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And by the way, if you want me to, people that know me, I can talk all night if you want me to wait for the Commissioner to come. No? Okay. Okay. I'll move quickly then. I'll get right to the point. Mr. Chair and members, House File 14 has gone through the appropriate committee process up to this point, and what it basically does is it appropriates $35 million in bonds, I believe general obligation bonds, for the purpose of funding the Rural Finance Authority, And the history on this has been around since 1986 out of the farm crisis, and this has been a vehicle by which some stability has been added to when the ag economy has gone fluctuated up and down. This is money that's appropriated through bonding whenever the amount runs out. Last year is when it ran out, and we all know what happened with the bonding bill. And so when we came into this year, the department was requesting that we reauthorize it and put some more funding into it, with planning coming up this year. And so in talking with leadership in the House, in coming to a recognition of this, this is a little bit out of normal. Typically, this is in the this is typically in the omnibus bonding bill, but this is a standalone. The only thing that I'll comment on, then I'll move it over to the deputy commissioner here, is you will see that there's a bond sale expense of $35,000 on the bottom top of the bond, and what that is whenever there's a purchase of bonds, there's an expense for MMB associated with that. That's typically an omnibus bill all grouped together at the end. This is a standalone bill. It's $1,000 per $1 million of bonds sold. That's why that's there. So if it's okay at this point, Mr. Chair, I will defer to Deputy Commissioner Matt Holman to address the contents of this bill.
Commissioner, welcome to the Committee on Ways and Means. Can you please state your name for the record and give us your testimony?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Matt Wollman. I serve as Deputy Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. I wanted to just mention that Representative Miller stated some of this already, but RFA was developed in 1986. It was developed with the primary mission to administer loan program dollars for farmers in Minnesota to provide low-cost financing to Minnesota farmers. We work through a consortium of about 400 community banks across the state. It is user finance, so when, as farmers, as we bond the money, we pay back the money. Farmers pay back the money on the loan. The loan is then repaid to MMB, which repays the bonds. I just want to mention that we've had a strong record of success on this program. Over the since 1986, we've administered about 2,888 loans, totaling $215 million. We currently have an outstanding loan balance of $50.8 million. And that represents 417 active files. And over that entire period of time, we've only taken losses on 20 loans, totaling just a shade over $500,000, which represents about 0.0001%. An incredibly small number for a loan portfolio of that size. The RFA has a number of different programs, including programs to help beginning farmers, programs to help farmers make ag improvements on their farms. One that's really important right now, especially with the downturn in the farm economy, is the restructure loan program. And then there's also a livestock expansion program as part of the RFA. The RFA purchases 45% of the loan, so we partner with that local lender. We purchase 45%. The lender also has 55%. And there are various different caps on net worth for each of the various different programs. And on average, the interest rate that we're able to offer through the RFA is between 3 to 3.5% interest. With that, Mr. Chair, I just say thank you to Representative Miller for moving this forward. It is time sensitive. Our bond authorization, the ability to make loans, is we do not have the authorization. It expired on December 31st of last year. And so at this point in time, we are not able to provide any assistance to Minnesota farmers out there. So that's why we're here today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Houseman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Those in capital investment have already heard this, but I thought you, as Ways and Means Chair, it would be important to get it on the record here as well. I support this bill. I'm going to vote for it tonight. I'm going to vote for it on the floor. But here's what makes me nervous. If this becomes a habit, and I got particularly nervous when I read the Daily Globe, which I'm assuming is a Worthington paper, and it said the following: everyone in St. Paul agrees the Lewis and Clark Regional Water System needs to come to Worthington, but that isn't the problem. Robinson said while both houses and the governor's office are all in agreement that funding for the Lewis and Clark connection to Worthington is in their bill, the bonding bill is one of the last things that will be done in the legislative session in late May. It's where all the bargaining chips are held. It's the last piece of negotiation. But we all know it wouldn't have to be that way. It's a bad habit to get into, and there is always the incredible risk that it doesn't happen, as we've experienced a number of times. They go on. Robinson, Hamilton, and Weber don't want to wait that long to get construction started. That's why they're working on standalone legislation to free up approximately $8 million in surplus funds from the money used on Phase 2 construction. If it stays in the bonding bill and it passes, it would be late May, and we would lose much, if not all, of the 2017 construction season. But this is, of course, the urgency from project after project. We could literally go through the bill and sort of make this case. They are right. We don't want to miss the 2017 construction season. Prices go up, bids go up, interest rates go up, and so they are right. We shouldn't lose much of the construction season. And ultimately, as we move anything through the Ways and Means Committee, every dollar you spend here, hopefully taxpayers, whether they live in Worthington or St. Cloud or Moorhead, they all feel that we've been fair to all regions of the state. And so the dilemma is, if you start carving out and moving ahead, have some go to the head of the line, you run the risk that people, taxpayers in other parts of the state, will have some frustration about that. The Midgey Dental Clinic has already had to go ahead. They've had to go alternate ways, and they have taken on the debt themselves. The Science Museum, water damage, they couldn't risk any more damage, and so they had to break their project up into Phase 1 and Phase 2, which ultimately raises the cost for the project. We could talk about the Child and Adolescent Behavioral Health Services in Wilmer, the Security Hospital, the Medelia Infrastructure, the St. Cloud Prison Intake, housing infrastructure bonds for those who don't have a safe place to sleep at night, the Lanesboro Dam repair, the water is literally squirting through the dam wall, asset preservation. everything waits and runs the risk not only of losing a construction season, but perhaps not getting done till next year. So, again, I support this bill. I intend to vote for it, but when I read other projects beginning to make their case and suggest that maybe some of this infrastructure will travel alone, then we have the question of how are we fair to everyone in the state. So my hope is that Representative Erdahl will find a magic way of guiding us through this avoiding a last-minute train wreck. But we'll see, the magic fingers are working.
Well, it is too bad the Democrats in the Senate mucked it up last year. Representative Wagenius.
No comment. Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things we're reading a lot about now, besides the low commodity prices, is the worry that we are not going to be able to send as much product to China as we've been able to do. We don't even need a trade war, that there's just the worry that China will make some choices. I think everybody knows why China might change their mind about working with us. So my question is this the language in this bill flexible enough for farmers to do some more creative things, look for other business opportunities, I mean farming opportunities, but not just corn and soy?
Deputy Commissioner Woolman.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Representative Wagenius, the Rural Finance Authority statutory language, we believe, is flexible enough to encompass a lot of different activities, whether it's, you know, apple farming or whatnot. I mean, there's just a number of different types of farming operations, and it doesn't necessarily preclude anyone except that you have to be a farmer. And so there's a definition of that, and I think there's some liberty to look at that. We have worked with a wide variety of different types of agricultural operations over the years.
Representative Guinness.
So I just want to make sure I've got your testimony right. You are not seeing constraints in the language on opportunity or opportunities that farmers might want to try.
Commissioner.
Can you say that just a little bit louder? I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question, Representative.
In the language, you are not seeing constraints. If a farmer wanted to do something somewhat differently in the next, because this is a three-year thing, it should be, in the next 3 years, are there constraints that we should remove? That's the only problem I have with this, just looking down the next 3 years and getting a little worried about missing opportunities in a changing political climate.
Mr. Woolman. Sure, I'm just looking at our staff and stuff just to confirm, but we do not see any constraints. We believe that the language is flexible enough to be able to offer, you know, low-interest loans to various different farmers. Now, they do have some general categories. You know, it has to be beginning farmer or agricultural improvements or, you know, for equipment and so forth on a, you know, a farm site, a restructure loan, or livestock expansion. So there's some general categories for how the program has typically been administered.
That does feel a little, if I could.
Representative Wagenius.
That does feel a little bit like there would be some constraints if a farmer wanted to, and it wasn't the new farmer, say wanted to move into hazelnuts, I don't know. But I just don't want us to be precluding opportunities. And that's, if a farmer can't do that, then it seems to me we should broaden the language a little bit.
Mr. Wolman?
Mr. Chair, I might just ask, Matt McDevitt is here, and if you'd be so inclined, Mr. Chair, Matt is our Rural Finance Authority supervisor, and he might be able just to answer that question just to make sure we have clarity around that.
Sure. Please come forward, sir. Sir, can you please state your name for the record and give us your testimony, and if you need the question repeated, please ask for it.
My name is Matt McDevitt. I'm with the Rural Finance Authority, loan supervisor. Mr. Chair, Representative, in answer to your question, we are able to provide a very broad spectrum of loans. We really don't tell the farmers what to do with their money. Now, you know, that said, if somebody tried to get a livestock expansion, wanted to start a worm farm or something, that might become something that would be a little bit more questionable. Usually what it kind of mostly comes down to is if the bank's comfortable with the farmer's plan, that it's sustainable and that they can cash flow their business plan, and they're willing to put forth their 55% of our, and we'll throw in our 45% for participation.
Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Mr. McDevitt or Representative Miller, I'm wondering if you tell me just in terms of the timing on this. So we would need to sell bonds before we can actually issue any more loans, I assume. But I imagine that banks can, if we, say, pass this bill and it gets signed by the governor maybe early next week, banks could go forward knowing that these loan funds are going to be available and then do their underwriting and such and then close on the loans as soon as the bonds are actually sold. How quickly will this money be available?
Mr. Chair, representatives, my understanding is that as soon as the governor signs the bill, we can go ahead and start issuing the loans.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to clarify something that was not added.
Representative Miller.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things that I did not say in my intro and the Deputy Commissioner did not explain is that these loans partner up with private lending institutions, and they're either typically or almost exclusively a 55-45 split, correct?
Generally speaking.
And so, Representative Wagenius, to address your question, the question is not whether this precludes something. It's whether when you go, and you kind of address this, when someone goes and says, this is my plan of what I want to do for expansion, for restructuring, it has to fit the criteria that's acceptable to the private lending institution. So as, I forget which one, but the Deputy Commissioner said, could you in theory start a worm farm? You could. But is the bank going to feel that that's a sustainable business? That's for them to decide. This is really meant as a way, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this was really meant as a way to stabilize the private lending institution's work in agriculture. It's meant to support it, not stand alone. I don't know if that helps, but that's one thing that I thought would kind of clear some of this up.
Okay. Well, Mr. McDevitt, going back to my question, or Representative Miller, or the Deputy Commissioner, I mean, if the governor signs this bill, you know, early next week, don't you need to issue more bonds to get the capital to do these loans, or is it just a matter of once you've got the authority, you are somehow able to come up with some additional money?
Mr. Chair, Representative, if you don't mind, we can have Steve Ernest, our finance.
Sure.
Yeah, I explain that probably better than I can.
All right. Mr. Ernest, welcome to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Steve Ernest, CFO, Finance and Budget Director at the Department of Agriculture. It's our understanding, working with NMB, has always been that the Bond Proceeds Fund does have proceeds in it and that we are able to spend against those in anticipation of the bond sales, which will list our specific programs when they are sold.
All right, sure, because you've otherwise sold other bonds previously that you haven't drawn all the principal of for various projects. The Chair of the Capital Investment Committee, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and just a couple thoughts. First, what we are concentrating on here is a bill on bonding for some money, so that there would be money in RFA. There are suggestions that maybe There should be other ways to do this, or other things that this bill should be extended, the RFA should extend to finance. You know, there's still time to do bills on that, either for this year or maybe for next year's bonding bill. But a question that I do have of Mr. McDevitt, I think, and that is, yesterday in capital investment, there were a couple of bills or amendments offered dealing with trying to put beekeepers and hemp growers into this legislation, or making them eligible. And from what I just heard, it seemed that they already were. And no one asked anyone from RFA yesterday if they were or were not. So I just thought I would try to get that cleared at the present time.
Mr. McDevitt.
Mr. Chair, representatives, some clarification on that. There is some question whether banks would be willing to finance some of the, you know, the hemp type stuff, in that there's, you know, some concern that it's against federal law. So the banks may be the ones that are a little bit more of a stumbling block. If we were to build that into statute, they may feel more free to lend on those types of operations. As far as bees go, it can be a bit questionable that an insect is considered livestock, if you will. So that's maybe where that comes into a little bit of question on whether that exactly fits in there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if that were to be done, there should be some clarification. For those interested, then I would advise looking at the Ag committees with that and having it vetted for the next time.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so this is, I don't do a lot with rural finance, so never served on the Ag committee or anything like that. But I just was wondering what the answer is to the issues that Representative Hausman raised about why this jumps ahead, what the urgency is here. And, you know, I get that the fund is going to be out, you can't make the loans, but, you know, nevertheless, I wonder, why is this more urgent than the water leaking through the dam in Lanesboro and all of the other issues that around the state that everybody feels are urgent in their communities? This is, you know, I'm not hearing about, and maybe you have particular instances where the lack of this funding is going to cause a crisis for somebody. You know, I'm sure there are people who are waiting to have these funds available, but I haven't really heard why this has the privilege of flying solo and getting passed first and not being along with those other things that people are waiting for around the state that some people have been waiting for a very long time. Could somebody address that? What am I missing here?
Representative Miller, I don't know if you can talk about, I understand that there are some issues in the farm community about having loans and lines of credit so that crops can get planted this spring.
Mr. Chair, Representative Liebling, I guess this is the answer that I would give as I was thinking about what you said and what this is. There is, of course, a timeliness to this with what you just addressed, Mr. Chair. There's a timeliness. I can't answer as to why this got to the head of the line. That seems to be speculation on my part. I think it's something perhaps you could talk to leadership, perhaps, or you could talk to the capital investment chair, or Ag Finance Chair. But what I would say is that the department came to me. Well, they came to the Ag Committee, and I saw this before session even started, and I saw this as a legitimate issue that I wanted to take up and take on the cause of rural Minnesota, because that's who I represent. I'm a very rural district. And so I put this forward and said, this is a need. These are the reasons I argued why I think this needs to be done. And I believe that because the department came forward in such a way that they did, because I came forward, because we have really emphasized that this is, if you will, a straight and narrow, clean bill, It's a bit unique. One of the things that was not mentioned, but for clarity, because this is a user finance, it also requires simple majority, so it's a little bit outside the norm of bonding. I will speculate on this, but I want to emphasize that it's speculating. I believe the people said, you know what, the merits are such that we should move this forward through the committee process and move it to the point that it's gotten here, and I'm thankful for that. But I cannot speculate as to why this, as you defined it, moved to the front of the list when there's other perfectly good projects ahead of this. I guess I'm just thankful that it has, and I hope that I can get the support here in ways and means so that we can move it on. I'd like to add something to that, Deputy Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, I think the only thing I can say is that the farm economy is struggling, and there is need out there, and the RFA has been an important avenue to provide assistance to farmers in times when there has been need. And right now, with the farmers going in to redo their operating and their loan portfolios and getting ready for spring planting, this is an important time. I think that is what I would say, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lublin and Hamilton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I take your word for that. I mean, I think it's important that we, get the crops in the ground when they need to be in the ground. You know, obviously that has to happen, and there's a window of opportunity for that. But, in the bonding bill that didn't go through, there was a provision for Rochester to help us with our airport, with something that was being required by federal law that we had to do an upgrade. And the money was coming out of the airport fund. It did not have to have a supermajority either. It could have been done, But it was put in the bonding bill, and as everyone knows, the bonding bill failed. I would not say because of the Senate Democrats, but, we're not going to rehash all that now, but, certainly it was done at the very last second and shouldn't have been. One could argue mismanagement there as well. However, that was, again, something that didn't need a supermajority, was put in the bonding bill, didn't need to be in the bonding bill, and the money was not appropriated. So, I'm like Representative Hausman, I'm certainly not opposed to this. I have to say I probably have more questions about it just because it's something I'm not familiar with. Maybe I'll ask those offline. But I just think that it doesn't seem fair to me. We should be passing a bonding bill now. We should be. I hope the bonding bill is not going to wait for end of session. I hope it's not going to be another bargaining chip kind of thing, because people have been waiting, and people around the state, the farmers deserve to know what they're going to have so that they know that they can put their crops in the ground and they understand what their position is going forward, and that is the same thing for communities all over the state. They all need to know where they're going to be. We need to know what we're going to have in transportation so the Department of Transportation can go forward with projects, and on and on and on. So I'm going to support the bill as well, and, certainly our farmers are important, but so are people around the rest of the state, in other people in rural communities and other in rural communities like Lanesboro, small town, beautiful town, deserves to have its dam repaired, and communities, metro and rural communities, deserve to have a bonding bill and know what they're going to have this year. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The Chair of the Agriculture Finance Committee, Representative Hamilton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. This affects every single one of us. And the farm economy, like the testifiers said, it is struggling currently. And we have to be able to restructure the debt. If we're not able to restructure our debt, we cannot get a loan. If we can't get a loan, we can't purchase seeds. If we can't purchase seeds, we can't plant a crop. If we can't plant a crop, none of you eat. And that's why this is brought to the front, and we have to get this passed, and I thank everybody for expediting this. Thank you.
Any last words? Representative Miller on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee, and I ask for your vote.
All right. At this time, seeing no further discussion, the chair will renew his motion that House File 14 be referred to the General Register
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. House Bill 14 is referred to the General Register. Member, thank you, Representative Miller. We did have another item on the agenda tonight, Commissioner France, but I think by popular demand we may have you come back at a different time. Other people I know have some other engagements they've talked to me about. I would tell people we've got the governor's general fund budget recommendations in a little bit more detail that I think are in people's packets. I'd encourage you to study them for perhaps our next meeting when we have Commissioner France back. And with that, members, seeing no further business, we are adjourned.